welcome to Random Gaming Talk. It's Entertainment Talk's podcast for video games. I'm your host, Matthew. Joining me today, my co-host is Robert. How's it going?
I'm doing okay, trying to survive Mother Nature's wrath here. We've had
Fair enough.
Heavy rain 4 out of the last 7 days. Flood watch 5 out of the last 7 days. We've had 2 tornadoes touch down in the last 7 days. So I don't know what bug crawled up Mother Nature's ass, but I hope it dies and goes away soon.
Cool. All right. For those that wondered, well, I did explain it on last week's. We did do a podcast last week, but our schedules just... There was like one slot I ended up having, and we couldn't line things up. So, but that happens now and again. So that's fine. It's just, I think, what day did I message you on? Was it Sunday? I didn't realize that Man United played on the Tuesday. I sort of not forgot, but I forgot that it was on Tuesday. I've been so used to us playing on Thursdays. So yeah, and you can't move a live game out of the way. So yeah. But anyway, we're back this week. Sorry with you being gone last week. What have you been playing?
A lot of XCOM. I'm in that phase to where I'm close to being able to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to finish it for finishing it. And then I'm going to go back to Kingdom Come Deliverance. I'm kind of in a holding pattern on that game because I'm at a story point to where I have to have a skill be good enough to have a decent chance of success.
Right.
And it's not, so I'm running around trying to figure out ways around it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 'Cause I could just be evil and kill the people I need something from, but I don't have him as that evil. Yes.
Mm.
Horn dog Giga Chad. Yes, but not evil.
I can't say the word. Moral choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's good when you have those in games, I suppose. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a linear set story, but yeah, moral choices and things in games are interesting. So basically, you can either kill these people and become evil, or get a skill that you don't have yet and do a different option. Is that what you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I was watching Access stream some of that, the second Kingdom Come game, and it does look pretty good. I might dip into it. And I find I remember I did play some of the first one, and I thought it was good. I can't remember why I didn't continue with it. It's just one of them things in life.
More than likely, and I've said this several times, the combat is so different than anything else, and it really doesn't fit a controller. It really kind of needs to be more of a mouse and keyboard.
Hmm.
Now, you can do mouse and keyboard on controllers, but most people don't.
Yeah. So, yeah, I might get to that back to that at some point. Cool. Anything else you've been playing?
No, not really. There hasn't been a whole lot that's either new come out that I've wanted to play. I mean, a lot of stuff has come out, but nothing that's really been like, oh, I have to have that immediately.
Yeah. Like for me, when I saw like Atomfall, didn't want to jump on that. Assassin's Creed Shadows is its own thing. That's a game I'm curious to try because I'm a fan from day one, but that's not remotely I have to jump on it now kind of thing. I will certainly, I don't know whether I'll finish Assassin's Creed Shadows. I'm going to try it though. I'm certainly going to try it. I mean, after everything we've both said and what everybody else has said, I mean, we've all had a lot of things to say about that game. Let's just say that, you know.
Well, hey, Fail Guard is on PS Plus. You can always try that.
Yeah, I did grab the you know, the add to the library thing when that came out. So that's in the queue as well. Still need to play what's the one that was really good? Baldur's Gate 3. Still need to jump in and play that and try all that out. So all in good time though. All in good time. Yeah, there is a bit because there was like a Monster Hunter game that came out, but I'm not a Monster Hunter player. I don't think the game's bad. I mean, I can't call it bad. I haven't really played it or whatever. But I'm not really a Monster Hunter person. There's been a few other games here and there as well. What was the other one that came out? It was... oh yeah, there was that new Berserker thing. It's like a Souls-like kind of game. So yeah, that's come out as well. For me, we have a nice... a very nice thing to talk about. It's nice to talk about nice things. I mean, you know, we can't ignore the bad things that are happening in the industry, and obviously we cover a bunch of them, sometimes really serious and sometimes just stupid. But we have something really nice to talk about, which is, so as of yesterday, which yesterday was the 6th of April 2025, as many of you could know, I don't know how many of you do know, because some of you might not know the date. April 6th, 2016 was the day that I created Entertainment Talk. I mean, I tried to put it together just before that, but that was the, live date, if we call it that. So yeah, that marked yesterday. I didn't particularly do like a ton for it or whatever. In fact, I didn't really do anything for it. But I was kind of, because as we were coming up to April, I was like, right, this year's going to be 9 years, and next year, if we get there, and I'm intending to get there, and we get to 10 years, do I want to kind of just save any plans, any sort of energy towards, podcast or anything else? And I think I want to just save. I had a few little ideas, none of which are really completely worth mentioning. But to do something to save the energy for this year and do something kind of bigger next year. Obviously, 10 years is quite big. But something kind of that coincidentally happened was, so as many of you know, I've been doing this little another podcast project. I went from the Jak and Daxter games to the Uncharted games. I'm now playing, obviously, Uncharted 1, 2, 3. I can't remember if 4 came out before Lost Legacy, but I'll figure that out eventually. But start with 1, go through 1, 2, and 3 first of all, which are in the the port slash remaster collection. And so I went to just, build up the Uncharted collection. Sorry, not the Uncharted collection. I think it's called the Nathan Drake collection. The Uncharted collection is Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy. That's the PS5 versions of those games. Because if you remember, Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 are PS3 games. So anyway, booted up Uncharted 1 and had a quick little look at trophies. Not because I was intending to get the platinum. I just wondered when I'd last played it, and it said 2016, which is when I remember getting my PS4 in 2016, and then delving into all the PlayStation games that I'd missed. Uncharted, obviously that collection. I think that was the first game I played on PS4, because I got my PS4 with Uncharted 4. That was like the bundle at the time, and then I thought, okay, I should probably play 1, 2, and 3. So I think I bought that digitally. I have it digitally now. I can't remember quite how I played it first time around, but that was in 2016. And then realized yesterday, because it was just before 11 p.m. yesterday when I finished Uncharted 1. So a nice kind of little bookend thing is that. So I was looking on the trophies of like, okay, when did I actually finish this game? And trophies is a good way to obviously track that, because usually, with most games at least, if you beat the game, you roll the credits or whatever, you get a trophy for that, so you can kind of check that date. So it looked like I started Uncharted 1, my first ever playthrough, August 10th, 2016, and finished the game on August, I think it said 16th. So 6 days is pretty decent for that. I don't know what I was completely doing, all the way in August 9 years ago. But yeah, I just thought it was kind of poetic and sort of nice that this game that I played for the first time 9 years ago, and I didn't remember that I played it 9 years ago. I couldn't quite remember the date. I knew it had been longer than like 5 years. And then yeah, finished. So yeah, one of the first games I played when we started Entertainment Talk, and was one that on a first replay, because I think this is only the second time I've actually been through Uncharted 1, although I did remember good chunks of it quite vividly. I suppose it stuck in my brain, which was good. And yeah, finished that last night on April 6th, which is our anniversary date. So that's just quite nice. It's just a nice thing. I didn't plan that. I could have finished it today. I could have finished it the day before. I could have finished it tomorrow. But yeah, just a nice poetic little sort of genuine coincidence as well.
Speaking of rolling credits, remember a while back when I was clowning on Concord because their end credit, start to finish, was an hour long?
I think I remember that. Concord's not really in my
Yeah.
brain anymore, but yeah.
Shadows is 2 hours long.
Yeah. I don't know why that would be. That's such a long time. 2 hours of credits. I mean, I remember when I watched the 2019 quote unquote live action Lion King remake of which I still don't know why I did that. And I did a review for it, and the credits were like 17 minutes. Obviously, I didn't sit there and watch it for 17 minutes, but 2 hours
Can you
is
really call it live action when there's no
that's
live
what I mean,
action?
quote unquote. Even though it was supposed to be a live action remake, but it's in the animated films box office list because Inside Out 2 managed to get past it, even though it shouldn't really be in that list. So, anyway, yeah. Yeah, any thoughts on the coincidence with Uncharted there, or the sort of nice way that's lined itself up?
That's a nice little symmetry.
So, yeah, August 2016. It's kind of interesting that I haven't touched that game since then. I guess I've just not really had kind of a reason to. Cool. So for other stuff, been playing some COD here and there. I think I mentioned this last week. Like, I notice when I have a game and I do get like 15, 16 kills, which for the game mode that I play is quite a lot of kills, is genuinely because my guns are working properly. I know they say don't blame the game, or don't blame your tools, or whatever the phrase is. But that's been interesting. So, yeah. I know, a lot of people talking about Warzone's coming back. People are very excited. So, yippee, good luck with that. I did actually have something saved for that, actually, which I forgot to mention. There were some little details that came out. I guess I'll just mention it here and not save it for the news section. Some small little details about Modern Warfare 4 for next year. And one of the little tidbits in there is it said that because Verdansk, I think is what it's called, has come back, which I think is the original Warzone map, which everybody's excited for. They've said if that doesn't do well, like, numbers wise, because live service, you've got to keep the numbers going, that the new sort of version of Warzone they might have for Modern Warfare 4 might get cancelled, or might get, stripped away or pulled back or whatever in some way, which kind of makes sense. So I guess we'll see what happens there. It kept giving me this every time I went into a different menu, which there's a lot of menus in these games, obviously because of the whole HQ thing. It kept going, "Hey, click here to play Verdansk, click here to play Verdansk." And I was like, "Go away! Can I just like?" It didn't like bother me or ruin my day. It was just a bit sort of, okay, you told me once, you gave me the big sort of splash screen advertisements we get in stuff these days. And it's like, "Hey, come and press this button and play Verdansk." And I was like, I just don't want to. Can I just hide that little menu? Because there are so many menus in that game. But yeah, that's come back. They had this fancy launch trailer. I didn't watch that. For those of you that don't know, I think I genuinely sort of hate Warzone. And not just because of what the game mode is, but because it's what it's done to COD over the last 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is. So anyway, that's happening as well. But yeah, that's pretty much me for games at the moment. Gonna move into Uncharted 2. I didn't know when I wanted to start it because I know that and by the way, for my actual thoughts on Uncharted 1, I'll be saving, more of them for the podcast project I'm gonna do. But it's overall still a really, really great game, and as I've been going through some of these Naughty Dog games, it's been interesting to see where ideas have bridged and been sort of translated and stuff. Across Crash, Jack and Dexter, and Uncharted, and things like that. So that's been kind of interesting. But yeah, it's a good, very good set piece. Heavy. I don't know if simple is like a too harsh of a word, but it's a good, just nice, simple start for what Uncharted ends up being. So there we go. But yeah, I didn't know when I wanted to start Uncharted 2, because Uncharted 2 starts with this really cool, like, I think it starts with Nathan Drake hanging out the back of a train that's like crashed, and the idea is that you have no idea how he got there or why or what he's doing. And then it's also got the big impressive train sequence later on and some other things. So I didn't want to kind of just jump straight into that. I know that's going to be quite a good one to do as well. So yeah, next up I'll be playing Uncharted 2. So, which I'm gonna guess I also played in 2016 as well. All right, that's what we've got for the stuff we've been playing. Let's move into housekeeping, and we have some very big things both happening and coming up this week. Sorry, things that happened last week and big things coming up this week as well. I think you all know what I'm talking about, but we will get to that in a minute. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. All right, so recently on Entertainment Talk, let me scroll down. A couple of podcasts for you all. I brought the United cast back. We've been on a sort of, well, there was the international break anyway, but I've already explained for those that have probably listened to the episode anyway and heard what my plan is for the rest of the season. But I couldn't miss a Manchester derby, although this one was arguably quite skippable. Man United 0, Manchester City 0. We played them at home, and we should have smashed them to bits. We genuinely should have and could have beat them 5 or 6, maybe even 7-0. Man City were pretty terrible and looked completely out of ideas. We didn't. We just couldn't score goals because we don't pass to our striker, and there are a bunch of other reasons. But yeah, a lot of people said, like, hey, this is a bit of a pointless Manchester derby. Man City still need points in their league. I mean, we don't really need any more or certainly any less points. But I don't know why they didn't go for it more. They just looked very lost, and we could have smashed them to bits and nobody scored, and it ended up being 0-0. So there's that one. Over on Hear Me Roar, which is for Yellow Jackets, we're up to the penultimate episode of Season 3, Season 3, Episode 9, and we don't have a renewal yet for Season 4. Everybody's getting scared. We have the season finale this Friday, so really, really looking forward to that. I've thoroughly enjoyed this season. So there's all that. Over on The World of the Last of Us, I did my separate, because David hasn't played the second game, at least I don't think he has. Last of Us Season 2 spoiler preview. There will be a spoiler free preview, which will just be called preview. That should be on Wednesday. But obviously, went and looked through all the chapters, looked through the cast, did my own predictions as to when I think things might happen. I did notice a big review embargo dropped today as well. We're going to be talking not about all of those, obviously I'll save that conversation for the preview with David, but we're going to be talking about IGN score here in a minute. See if you can all guess what they gave the season. But yeah, that's a spoiler preview, so obviously if you don't know the story or haven't played the games, don't go in there, because it's dangerous and full of spoilers. So there we go. Over on the also World of the Last of Us podcast, we talked about the Neil Druckmann and Israel-Palestine situation, his stance on the whole situation, and I thought that podcast went really well, actually. Me and David sat down, talked about some information I gathered, some screenshots and social media posts from Neil Druckmann about that situation, and we talked about that. Over on Gaming Talk last week, if you missed the solo episode, talked about Naughty Dog. There was more rumours of more games in development, because how many games could they possibly have in development at Naughty Dog? Talked about that, talked about Hogwarts Legacy and the special edition getting kind of sort of cancelled, and talked a bit about superhero games as well. Did a Snow White podcast, wasn't a review, haven't seen the film, don't plan on doing so. I'm not going to explain what this episode is about, because otherwise I'll be here for a while. I called an episode, Snow White and the Brain Rot Racism. You can make from that title, you can assume whatever you want from that title, but yeah, you're just gonna have to listen to the podcast to see what that's all about. Obviously, no spoilers for the film, or I mean, can you spoil Snow White? It's like what, 100 years old or something.
Well, the movie, to be fair, the movie is Snow White in name only.
So yeah, that's the adaption kind of from that. Just talking about everything going on with that film, both on screen and certainly off screen as well. So you can check that one out. Got more Yellow Jackets podcasts. What else do we have here? Some other podcasts I had to repost. Yeah, that's pretty much what we've been doing recently on entertainmenttalk.org and on podcast platforms. Let's get into some news. Oh, my mouse turned off. All right. Let's get. I've just actually realized with my news, I have nothing that I like this week to talk about. I'm gonna get the more sillier stuff out of the way, then we can get obviously the big news of the week out of the way. The first one is more serious, but still silly, and the second one is just the more silly story. I've got a bit of a bone to pick with Jeff Keighley. Now, some of you do and don't like the Game Awards. That's fine. If you just don't like the show that he does for various different reasons, that's fine. I've always kind of gone on record for the last, how many years have we been covering the Game Awards? Probably the whole time we've been doing this podcast, I imagine. And obviously we usually cover that in December. It's usually the last podcast of the year, and it still has, some kinks and things to work out. It's a very long show. There's a lot of adverts, a lot of silly adverts, things like that. But I've gone on record before saying, hey, I think Jeff is, he seems like a great person. He's like one of the few people actually doing this in the game industry, because he's also does the, what's it called, Summer Game Fest. E3's basic, well, is completely gone. Whether it will ever come back or whatever, we don't know. But that's pretty much gone. So in terms of things like, the big gaming shows, it is kind of Summer Game Fest, then the Game Awards. I know obviously there's things like, when Xbox does their developer directs and they do their showcases, when PlayStation does State of Play showcases, when Nintendo does State of Plays, but those are all a lot more separate nowadays than what they used to be. Because it used to be kind of, okay, E3's coming up, who's going Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and who can kind of, win the week sort of thing of E3 presentations. And now it's sort of, they're all still competing with each other, but it's kind of, they're doing it at their own separate times. And again, I don't personally know Jeff Keighley, but from what he comes across like on camera and on social media and stuff, seems like a pretty decent person. Again, whether you think he's doing a good or bad job with the Game Awards is almost a completely separate thing. However, and I saw this, and one part of my brain was like, okay, this is silly, you don't really need to talk about it. But then I thought, like, sometimes you kind of just gotta, and look, he hasn't, killed someone or committed a crime or something. Nothing too extreme like that. Which we have mentioned when people have done things like, well, not killed people necessarily, but done really bad things on his podcast. We've mentioned them before. I'll just read what he said on social media here. It says, Microsoft has created an AI-generated replica of Quake 2 that you can play in browser. It says, every frame is created on the fly by an AI world model. Play it here. It's called a Copilot. Now, whether you do or don't want to visit this site, I know people don't want to go to certain links. I'm just reading it out to you. It doesn't mean you have to go to it. It's called copilot.microsoft.com and then has an extended link there. Okay, so there's obviously a big discussion pretty much in the world at the moment with AI, right? Like people having their voices replicated, companies trying to do dodgy things. That was one of the things that came up in, like the voice actor strikes and the writer's strikes and things like that. I know some actors, Ashley Birch is one, who somebody I really like and has done really good work. She has called out like AI stuff for different companies. There was this, I remember there was this article a few weeks ago as well about like Sony, I can't remember exactly what it said. It was something to do with like Sony wanted to create like AI driven characters for their PlayStation games, and they had Horizon as an example, which obviously that would have concerned Ashley Birch because she voices and performs the character. Now AI has been used in games for a long, 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 long time. And video games need it a lot more than, let's say, television and film do, because obviously, usually for the most part with TV and film, unless it's a stylized show or an animated show or a CG show, most of the time for most of television, it's people physically in front of cameras acting, which is where you need physical, real people to do it, and you can't really do that with AI. You could certainly try. So yeah, there's all that kind of stuff going on. I'm just surprised with the sort of casual nature of like, hey, go and play this completely created AI driven thing for a game that is quite respected. I've not personally played Quake 1 or 2 or whatever, but I've heard a lot of times about its, importance, especially in the first person shooter genre. And from what I understand, big games like COD and other big first person shooters, maybe Halo as well, might not be where they're at if Quake and get games like Doom as well hadn't done what they'd done for the industry. So sometimes you just got to respect games from the past as well, and I don't think that this is doing that. I don't know what. I mean, okay, he may have just seen this and think, oh, that maybe is a cool thing to share. I don't know if there's any, like, if he has any connection to this project. He didn't really say that. He's just sort of saying, hey, here's this AI thing. I'm just surprised to see this. I mean, there's, and this was from Twitter. Look, there's a lot of crap and nonsense and stupidity on Twitter. There is still nice people, there are still good people, there are still logical people, right? I was just surprised to see this from him. And this doesn't, like, bring him down in my estimation. This doesn't make me think he's a bad person. I'm more interested in sort of, rather than sort of trying to beat him down or well, I can blame him for posting it and all that sort of thing, because he did do that. But this is just one of them situations where it's like, okay, I know that you're better than promoting something like that. You've slipped on this one. That's kind of the way I sort of am looking at this. But it doesn't mean sort of I suddenly think he's like a terrible bad person, or he's not committed some sort of crime or something. It's just a bit of a shitty thing for him to promote. Especially with the AI nature towards this. So yeah, it was just kind of a bummer to see somebody who I think is done so well in this industry. Again, whether you do or don't like the Game Awards for whatever reason or whatever, he's at least trying to do something there. Just thought that this wasn't great to see. So, what do you think of what he's posted here?
I have a lot of thoughts, actually. First off, before I get started, if anybody hears any weird noises, my apartment complex decided that 5 out of 7 days of rain means it's a great chance to mow the yard. So I got lawnmowers going off near where I'm at. So if you hear a whoa, 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 that's not me having a stroke. That's a lawnmower.
That's good to know. That's very good to know.
Second, and this is something I always bring up because I always have to. It's not artificial intelligence. There is no independent thought. This is virtual intelligence. It's basically command over command over command over command over command, giving the illusion of intelligence, but there's no independence in it, which is a, pedantic on my end. And I know that and I fully accept that, but it is what it is. Now, having gotten that out of the way, some form of virtual intelligence has been around forever. Think about things like autocorrect and word processors. Initially, it was just this is the word they typed. They did a command of match to a dictionary. And if it didn't find it, it just flagged it as not that word. Then the VI came into it when it started suggesting possible versions of the word. And I do this all the time. I can't spell a word. I put it in Google search. And more often than not, I get the correct spelling. Even the autocorrect will not gave me the right word, and I have to Google how to spell a word based on, as close as I get to it. Siri and Alexa, and is there a voice command in Android phones? I don't use Android phones, so.
There's that Gemini thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one that they
All
use
those
because
are
they all have their
virtual.
different for different platforms, right? So,
Yeah,
yeah.
all those are virtual intelligent engines, and Siri and Alexa have been around forever. And the point that I've always had, it's not the existence of it, it's the usage of it.
Oh yeah,
Because you could
yeah.
do something fun. Like I saw a video and it had back-to-back film scenes, and it was a Sean Connery Bond, but they replaced him with what's his face?
Daniel Craig?
Burt Reynolds.
Oh, right.
Because they were both really big in that time frame. So it was a shot-by-shot comparison. And then they did American Psycho, but they replaced the main actor with Tom Cruise. And then they did Top Gun, and then they replaced Tom Cruise with the dude that's in the cocky dude that's in the new one. That's also in like Twister, the sequel, the not sequel sequel. And that's cool because, they're just showing of, hey, this is what I can do with the software. But then you get the people on the other side that are making fake spicy content of famous people and selling it, which is illegal in
Yeah,
the
it's just
sense that
straight up
it's,
illegal. Yeah.
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 And they're actually
There's
passing more law.
a little plot line in, not to get into spoilers because it's a very good film. There's a film called Afraid, which came out last year, which I really enjoyed. And there's a whole, it's kind of labeled sometimes, depending on the context, it's sometimes referred to as like revenge porn. And there was a section, there was a little plot line in that film that went over that as well. So,
Well,
yeah.
technically, revenge porn is when it's the person actually doing the spicy content and knows about it, but then the two people break up and the one person
Yeah,
puts it
yeah.
on the internet without the other person's consent. This is just straight up taking something that exists and putting somebody else's face on it, which has kind of been done, but not really in that. There's a lot of lookalikes for, somebody will get famous for 5 minutes, and then somebody else that happens to be in the industry and can make themselves look like that person will do parody stuff.
Yeah. Where I have my main kind of problem with AI and stuff is obviously when it comes to just lazy, sloppy art. Like, hey, look at this really cool picture I made, and for the most point, you can just tell it doesn't have an artistic or real feel to it. And there's a lot of that stuff going around. The other ones is when, like, and I think this was one of the points in the whole strike thing, is there are literally certain executives and people in Hollywood that want to go, like, okay, let's get rid of all our writers. Not necessarily because they're bad, but because we don't have to pay them. And then let's put, like, if you take The Walking Dead, for example, I'm just thinking of a random show, and you put a bunch of buzzwords from The Walking Dead to, like, Rick, zombie, gun, or, all those sorts of different things. You shove them into a generator and spit out a script, and literally kind of spit out a script. And then also then try to CG replicate some of, if not all of the actors, and get them to, slyly get them to try to agree to, okay, we're gonna, instead of paying you for multiple projects, we're gonna pay you kind of for your likeness, but not as much as we should, because we can then copy and paste it and put it whatever we want. And then you then end up with a show, let's say, where it's like, okay, the actors' faces and almost some of their whole body has been not CG'd, but put through into AI into a show, and then you have a script that is spit out by some AI generator, probably making some of the worst TV you then would ever see. But where they want to greedily save money for that is, rather than like, hey, we'll pay you for certain seasons, certain episodes, give you a contract, they'll pay you maybe a smaller fee, and then they'll slyly get you to try to agree to, like, copy your face. And this is some of the stuff that Ashley Birch is talking about as well. She's done like a good few Instagram videos on it. And then, like, hey, instead of paying writers to, sit and have a proper table read and like iron out a script with, human thoughts and feelings and empathy and all that, is just, hey, what sort of words can we put into this that replicate the show we're trying to make, and then just put whatever out. Luckily, that hasn't gone as far as what it could have, and it's good that people went on strike against that, because that could have been an absolute disaster. And I've seen some like mock-up examples of what some of that stuff could look like, and all of it looks like utter rubbish, like complete utter garbage. So there's kind of that issue. But I do fundamentally understand that, like, okay, let's say you're controlling a character. You're in control of, okay, when do you shoot, jump, run, or whatever, and then, okay, the enemies and the friendly characters around you all have their programmed AI as to when you're low on health. The companion that you've got is then coded to, like, do a heal thing, or when you've got the classic kind of, like, and this isn't necessarily AI, but it's also coding as well. When you've got, hey, this enemy is going to do this specific pattern over and over again, you learn it so that you can do the stealth thing and do all that. I mean, I've gone on record loads of times with, like, let's say Last of Us 2, when it's, let's say when you kill an enemy or something and someone notices it and they go, oh, Greg over there's, the, you know, they do the call out thing in that game or whatever. Or the way they sort of try to track you and different things like that. So I get that AI is in games, it's used and it's used very, very well, but there's a version of some of those things where it just turns into sloppy crap. And I don't know whether this Quake thing here that Jeff is promoting is good or bad or whatever it is. I just thought it was not great of him to do. So
Yeah, and in terms of companies that are doing it, Disney is the worst offender. You go to Secret Invasion,
yeah, that
the
intro.
Disney
Yeah.
Plus show, the intro was no human art
Nope.
generated. It was
Nope.
all computer generated. And as for the script, I mean, hell, you could get 1,000 drunk monkeys flinging their shit at keyboards connected to Chat GPT, and you'll still get a better script than She-Hulk or The Acolyte. I'm sorry, but if you're a writer, a human writer with a functioning brain, and you came up with the line, I'm hurting for a yurtin', find another job.
Yeah. Now I remember with that Secret Invasion intro, because I don't think I knew
We
that
talked
that
about that.
was. Yeah, I remember when I first sat down and watched the first episode, and I remember the intro coming up, and I remember thinking in my mind, like, okay, this looks a bit odd. Like, I couldn't quite put my finger on sort of what it was, and I didn't know what was going on at the time. But I remember thinking, like, this just looks a bit odd and a bit strange. And then I think it was like a day or so after the first episode came out. And they're like, and everyone figured out, like, oh yeah, no, they made this with AI. And I was like, oh, okay, that's why it looks so
Shit.
dodgy and sloppy. And just, it's like, well, why'd you need to do that? So yeah, that's the AI side of things. Something else which is a lot less serious, but I just wanted to point it out because I thought it was funny. So and again, we'll be breaking this down more on the season 2 preview for The Last of Us when me and David go to do that on Wednesday. But yeah, the social and review embargo dropped. Obviously, there's no spoilers and stuff going around. Just the general kind of, is it good, is it bad, you know, social media and embargo review came out. And let's see who can guess. And I did watch the actual video. I spoke to you just before we recorded about the sort of process of that. Theirs was the first that I saw come up. That's why I clicked on theirs. It was around 9 a.m. Pacific time today, because it was 5 my time when this all came out. Can anybody guess what IGN gave the season? Robert, what do you think they gave season 2?
Oh, well, I already know what it is, so
Yeah.
it's a seven.
It's a sad. Yeah. They just seem to, like, it's not even a meme at this point. When people do watch IGN reviews and they put in comments like, oh, they gave it a 7, that's not always a joke or a meme. Sometimes, most of the time, I mean, how likely are you to open an IGN video review for anything, specifically a review for anything, whether it's a game, show, film, anime thing, whatever? And CS7, you're probably, what, 80 to 90% likely to get a 7 from them. And I don't really understand how that ended up happening, because the one thing that IGN employees have said against the sort of, oh, the weird mixed reviews that IGN gives, because those aren't always the same person, it's a lot of the times different people, because they get different people to cover different stuff. But it's like, okay, even though we know that's the case, that they get a lot of different people to review different stuff, which makes sense because, like, let's say you have the new Bridget Jones film come out. If you wouldn't then pick out a staff person that's like, oh, you who's not seen any of the Bridget Jones films and doesn't know anything about it, go and see this third film in the franchise and give us your thoughts, give us a review. You'd pick the most likely person in the office who's not only a Bridget Jones fan but have seen at least seen the previous two films, so that they know what the hell's going on. But it's like, even though we know that's the case, how do so many of you end up giving sevens for so many different things? It's weird at this point. And what I said to you before we I was gonna say come on the air, we're not really on the air right now. Before we started recording, is like, because theirs is the one that came up, and I just got curious about it, so I clicked on it. I was halfway through the review, and I was like, okay, I wonder what the comments are saying. And so this was before I got to the end where they do give it a seven, and everyone's kind of half joking in the comments, going, oh, they gave it a seven, they gave it a seven, another IGN seven. And then it was another seven. So, I don't know. Again, it's not, harmful or offensive or bad, or it's not going to, ruin anyone's day. It's just, I don't know, weird. It's just sort of funny that it just, because it's this thing that keeps happening. IGN keeps giving things a seven. So, yeah. Any thought, not specifically on The Last of Us, but any thoughts on IGN giving another seven?
Well, to be fair, they gave Fail Guard a 9. I don't know why they did. But no, their reviews have absolutely nothing to do with the game itself. It has everything to do with all the crap behind the scenes of the game. We know why Veil Guard got a 9. We know why Space Marine 2 got a 6. It's not a secret. They're not even hiding it anymore. It's ridiculous. That's why I don't use them for reviews. Hell, I don't even go to that site anymore to call for stories to talk about.
Cool. But yeah, I just thought I'd point that out as a little funny thing. Let's move on to arguably the main topic of the week. We don't really call anything the main topic per se, but we already knew the Switch 2 was coming out, and they gave another presentation. I don't think I saw the entire thing, but I read enough information that I know most of the details. The video I did watch was the sort of 5 minute one where they gave a general overview of kind of what they're doing with the peripherals of the Joy-Cons and the fancy magnetic connectors of the Joy-Cons, and like, hey, we have a better display and we're gonna somehow on this thing do four, did they say 4K 60? It was something like that. I remember as soon as they said, I was like, dude, like, it, I don't know. It's like with the 4K thing, I'm not like calling them a liar or whatever, but it's like, you expect people to think that these games are going to run on a Switch 2 at 4K. The thing that kind of gave me a bit of a giggle about this whole thing, and we'll get to all the price and things like that in a minute. One of the segments they did show in the video that I watched was, and I'm actually kind of a not pro peripheral, that's the wrong way to put it. I'm a fan of what peripherals used to be able to do in video games, like things like motion controls, things like Kinect, things like VR, stuff like that. I just think it gives you something different to use in a game that you're playing, and certainly with VR when you have the different controllers and you have obviously a completely different view. And they start showing these, like, there was this basketball bit, and there was this, like, hey, in Metroid or whatever, you can use you can flip the Joy-Cons on their sides and use it as like a mouse. I was like, are you serious? You think that, like, are they trying to do some sort of PC gaming replica thing with? Because one of the things that does get pointed out a lot with PC gaming, and as I'm in the COD space, people point out, like, okay, the precision aiming with mouses and stuff, which is true, especially for, like, let's say snipers or whatever. I remember seeing that and like thinking immediately of, okay, you're trying to turn the Joy-Cons into PC mouses for like precision and for different gaming and for all these other mini games. Now, with a better set of controllers, that's a good idea, but watching them like do this bit of the presentation where they pulled the magnetic Joy-Cons off and like put them on the side and put it so that you could like roll the thing backwards and forwards for like different motions in games. Now it might work, I'll give the benefit of the doubt. It might work better than I think it's going to. But I thought that was just, I don't know, it just made me laugh. I thought that was quite laughable. And going back to something I said when they first revealed this, which was what, a couple of months ago, and one of the kind of comments I came away from was, okay, it just looks like the same thing as the Nintendo Switch. Like, this isn't a Switch Pro. This isn't like the PS5 Pro where you can go, okay, it looks really, really similar, no disc drive, whatever, the detachable thing and all that sort of stuff. That's clearly just sort of, okay, it's very, very similar to the PS5, but it's slightly better, so it is the PS5 Pro. I just expect something. I expected much more of an evolution from the Switch 2, and I really did genuinely expect the. I don't really know how you take something like the Joy-Cons and improve them because they're so dinky and rubbish and just so bad. And I know people can make the argument of like, okay, they're the smaller controllers, they're the ones that are meant for kids. Kids deserve better controllers than better controllers than that. I've no, I tell you what, just to kind of not change the subject but stick on kind of the same subject, the amount of times I've heard in the last couple of years, whether it's things like, oh, the Joy-Cons are for kids, but okay, they're still not very good and kids deserve better controllers. And then I hear things like with, let's say, Minecraft, which is doing well at the box office, and things like Snow White and things like other sort of like slapstick looking kids films, and the narrative around, let's say, content for kids, whether it is Joy-Cons or films or games or whatever, is like, oh, it's this thing is dumbed down, therefore it's fine for kids. And it's like, why, where did that narrative kind of come from, of we can make a film or we can make a thing that isn't as good as it should be, but because kids are what people think, kids are stupid, or that kids are just, they, I mean, yeah, kids' brains are developing and they don't quite, obviously understand everything, but some adults don't either. But I don't understand where this narrative came from a lot of different spots of, oh, it will be fine. This subpar project, or not project, but subpar product, sorry, is the word I'm looking for, because it's subpar or average or not well put together or has silly writing, it will be fine because it's for kids. Where did that kind of come from and start? Because I've started to notice that a lot more. And look, I know I grew up with, the 90s era of Pixar films, and that's a very, very, very high bar. Like Toy Story, Incredibles, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, all these kind of incredible films. And kids are still getting some really, really great films. Like the Mario film was very good. The three Sonic films have been really good. They've really built upon each other really well. Disney themselves hasn't really put out a lot of great stuff recently. Like Moana 2 was, sounds like it was all right. I just don't get where this narrative have come from of, oh, it's subpar, therefore it's good enough for kids. It's like, why aren't we doing the thing where we're making better products for kids? Why is that not the narrative instead? Because that's the way that I'm looking at it. I'm looking at this Switch 2, and okay, Nintendo's much more family friendly than, let's say, PC gaming or Xbox or what PlayStation is doing. But and for gaming, again, I grew up in a very high era, which was the 90s PS1 games, very, very high bar. But I think we've got to stop looking at either content or products for kids as like, oh, it's not great, but it's fine because it's just for kids. So, what do you kind of think of that narrative in general? I don't know if you've noticed the same thing that I have, but that just keeps coming up in certain conversations I'm listening to.
Well, first off, the 4K is upscaled only from the dock if it's capable. So you're probably not going to see
Right.
a whole lot of 4K. As for its narrative, it's good enough for kids. I think that's because we expect nothing from kids these days. We can't keep score. Everybody gets a participation trophy. We can't challenge them because we might hurt their fragile little egos and fifis. I mean, hell, listen to people that grew up in like pre-World War II is like they had a full-time job when they were 10, and they were working their farm, and they were hunting to put food on the table because you had to or you starved, and they were still going to school, and they still graduated, and kids were basically just adults with no with a smaller body frame. These days, kids are useless. And I say that as somebody who has no kids, but comes from a very, very large family. I think I have 16 or 18 cousins, and they all cranked out like two or three kids. I got one cousin that's got four kids and a stepkid. These kids are useless. They can't do anything. They don't know how to do any kind of schooling. You can't get them to do math. And just something basic as math, they have to have a calculator. For like stuff I was learning when I was 9, they can't write cursive, which is a weird kind of a thing. Being able to write cursive is a weird flex now for some people. And that's not entirely their fault. They've grown up in a world where they don't have to, and you can see that in the trends. It's like if you went to a high school and asked a bunch of 15-year-olds what they wanted to be as an adult as their job, they're not going to say, doctor, lawyer.
No.
They're going to say influencer. They're going to say Twitch streamer. They're going to say YouTuber.
Yeah.
Or they'll go down the pro athlete route, even though 99.9% of them have no chance.
Yeah. Maybe they could play for
It's
Man
like
United. We need some new
I'm
players,
a
so.
third string I'm a third string footballer. I played 5 minutes in the last 2 years. Of course I'm gonna go pro. And
Yeah.
that's on the parents of my generation to allow that. 'Cause I knew the kids were screwed a long time ago when I saw a news article saying that they were forcing teachers to stop marking wrong answers in red ink because it was making the children sad. I am not making that up. That is an actual news story from a policy from an actual school here in the States. And I saw that and I'm like, we're fucked. We are so fucked.
Yeah. But yeah, back to the Switch itself. It's not that there's something apart again apart from I know I keep going on about it, but I can't emphasize how bad I think those Joy-Cons are. To a point where I remember when I played the second, was it Tears of the Kingdom? Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom. And I was very impressed by that game at the start, and I was playing it with Joy-Cons. And I was like, nope, you know what? I'm gonna actually stop playing this game right now. I'm gonna buy myself a pro controller, and then play it properly. And I did still have, you know, the little dongle thing I had, the Bluetooth thing where I could connect my PS4 controller. For some reason, I couldn't do it in my DualSense, even though that's a Bluetooth one as well. Maybe there's a block in it or something. I don't know. And I connected my like older PS4 Bluetooth controller, and it just didn't quite feel right. And plus, it was a bit older, and it didn't quite. This wasn't as good as it used to be. So then I brought a pro controller and had a better time. I just don't see any. Again, there's the half-assed attempts at the motion control thing. I don't know how good that's going to come off, but I just if you're sitting there and you're trying to tell me and present to me these dinky little controllers that already weren't very good, and oh, they're magnetic now because you know that's gonna whatever. Of like, oh, now you can switch them to the side and do these little like peripheral things in the game, and I'm like, do you actually like what? And I know they said the like I can't remember what the letters are called, the sort of inside buttons on those controllers, that the ones that are at the side, or I guess they would be at the bottom in that situation, those are a bit bigger, and it's like that's not really the problem that you had with the Joy-Cons. But even like across this device, like okay, it does look nicer. I'm sure the screen resolution and you know the way it runs is better. I just don't see anywhere near enough evolution from. Like if this was a Switch Pro, I wouldn't have as many, you know, bugaboos with it or whatever. If they said, "Oh, this is a Switch Pro, Better battery life, better screen, runs performance better. They showed like the internal fan and all that kind of stuff as well. All that's pretty good, but that's more what I would consider like a Switch Pro to have. I know they had the Switch OLED or whatever, which I think was just a different screen or something, and they had the Switch Lite was like a smaller version where the Joy-Cons couldn't come off. But I was just really, again, not hoping because I don't plan on, as I said a long time ago, I sort of fell out with what Nintendo were doing. Their library just isn't really for me anymore. Which that's fine, that's okay. I was looking at this console because I didn't, to be perfectly honest with everybody, I didn't look at the presentation of like what the games were or what the games library is. I was just purely focused on, okay, you've showed us already what the system looks like. Now show us a bit more of what it can do and a bit more about it. And it just doesn't feel like enough of an evolution from the Switch 1 to me, like at all. Again, I think the tablet itself, the actual tablet of the Switch has done really, really well. It's just funny when they're like, oh, the Joy-Cons are magnetic now. It's like, cool, great. So yeah, that's sort of my. I mean, we had the price as well to talk about. They said that the games are going from some of them are going to be $80, some of them are going to be $90. So we have Nintendo as the first one to congratulate from, because I'm going to guess all these companies were looking at each other and going, okay, the standard price for games now, like standard edition for most games, is $70. Who's going to be kind of brave, I suppose, and pitch their first $80 game? And I saw another narrative connected to this conversation, which I more now agree with what I did before. Do you remember a few months ago when there was a rumor we talked about that GTA 6 could be $100? Now, if you're Rockstar and you know you're about to launch the biggest game of the last, like what? Well, the biggest game since pretty much Red Dead or GTA 5. I think Rockstar would now be looking at that going, right, if Nintendo is going to be doing $80 to $90, because I think they're different based on like physical and digital, aren't they? $80 to $90 games, you can absolutely get away with doing GTA 6 for $100, and they know that people are going to buy that as well. There was a discussion I had, or thing I read out with one of the reasons Warner Brothers said last week that they weren't going to do the like bonus or whatever, the special version of Hogwarts Legacy with the DLC and stuff, is because that was going to be $70 and they weren't quite sure if that was going to justify the price point. And the argument I made against that is, okay, no, you probably still could do that. And I said, okay, I brought up the example of Modern Warfare 3 and how they sort of skewed that from Modern Warfare 2.5 to Modern Warfare 3 and still got away with selling that for $70. So if you can sell Modern Warfare 3 for $70 and you could get away with Hogwarts Legacy special version for 70, and then you've got Nintendo's new games here for 80 to 90, Rockstar could absolutely come out and be like, you know what, standard edition of GTA 5 at 6, $100. I mean, people pay at the moment. Forget the price of standard edition games. We have to remember that when Assassin's Creed's a good example, they do it quite often. They have like a $150 whatever sort of statue thing with the Assassin's Creed games because they still release them about once a year. They still sell a load of those. So again, going back to the question of, okay, could Rockstar get away with GTA 6 for $100? I think they could quite easily do that, and they know that people are going to buy that. Do they think that people are going to go, oh no, this big game that everyone's going to be playing, everyone's going to be talking about, is going to be dominating the market, can't get away with doing $100 for? So they also announced as well that the actual price of the thing is for, I think it's $450. So, which I don't, well, again, my comments on the evolution of the Switch 2 or lack thereof goes a bit against that, but I don't think 450 is completely outrageous. And just to point out one more time, still cheaper than the PS5 Pro. And this thing takes cartridges, and the PS5 Pro on its own does not. It does not take, well, it doesn't take cartridges, doesn't take discs. So, Yeah, so those are some of my thoughts. Anyway, Robert, what do you think of the pricing and all that kind of stuff?
Well, at the pricing of the console, I think it's fair. Nobody was expecting it to come in at 300 like the Switch launched at.
No.
450 here in the US. I think for the improvements and the upgrades they did into it, I think that's a fair price. The big issues that I had
Yeah.
was there is a software you can download, which they're calling the Switch 2 World Tour. And it's basically your little me running around showing all the examples of what does this do and what does this do and what does that do, which is helpful, but you have to buy it. You can't just, it should be something on there for free, preloaded, but no, you have to buy it. And they didn't put a price tag on it, which is a massive flag. Yeah, the 80 digital, 90 physical. And this is the same thing that I said when you asked about the 100 bucks for GTA 6. They're going to do it because they can and people will buy it.
And they know they
You
can get
cannot
away with
tell
it, yeah.
me, you cannot tell me nobody's going to pay not buy that. Now they announced the bundle for Switch 2 with the Mario Kart World Tour at 500, which is a $30 to $40 savings off the cartridge as a bundle bonus. And I guarantee you that SKU is going to sell out every second it opens up just for the discount alone. I mean, there's a lot that they did that I thought was really, really good. I'm shocked at some of the games they're getting for it. Elden Ring, the not Bloodborne 2 Bloodborne knockoff.
Heard of that, yeah. The multiplayer only thing, people got like really excited about that, and then
The Hitman game they put on there, that's pretty wild. Yakuza Zero, not exactly a family-friendly game. It's going on there. They're doing a
well, you can get Witcher 3 on the
GameCube
Switch, so
controller accessory. Yeah.
yeah.
GameCube controller accessory. That's kind of wild. Borderlands 4 on there is kind of wild. Cyberpunk on the Switch too, that's kind of wild. Final Fantasy 70 remake, also pretty wild. Civ 7, which is where you're going to need your knockoff mouse.
Christ, I can't imagine playing. Oh well, yeah. Do you know what I just imagined actually? Because you know they're trying to make this the Joy-Con into a mouse peripheral, and I don't know if it is on Switch yet, but Activision's trying to put COD onto Switch, aren't they? Like, if trying to like jump around and quickscope people. And you've got like you're trying to do precision aim, and you're up against somebody who's actually on PC or even just on console who's got a good aim, and you've got this dinky little thing you're trying to move around and get like a precision shot on someone that's just jumping around all over the place. Oh, it's just funny. That's funny to me. So, yeah. I don't know which of the first COD games was supposed to go on Switch. I don't know if it's this year's COD or if there's one already on there. I've not looked on the Switch store for a while. So, yeah. I don't think Black Ops 6 is on there though. I haven't really heard anything about that. But I know that's one of the, because that was one of the Microsoft things, wasn't it? Of like, hey, not only will we keep this game on PlayStation, obviously, but hey, we're also gonna put it on Switch. Even with like COD on a docked Switch on a Pro Controller, I still don't think that that's just gonna do what you want it to do. Because people kind of say all the time about like, okay, precision aiming with controller and stuff. You imagine doing that with even with a pro controller, you're gonna be at such a disadvantage. Especially with like, especially some of the duels that I get into on that game. If you're late or kind of miss your shot and you've got like half a second to react to something before somebody shoots you first, you're done. There's like, I know you've called it like a twitch reflex game or whatever. That's absolutely true. Like if you Yeah, if you fail to reload your gun like half a second before somebody else does or something, you're pretty much already dead before the person's already shot you. So I just couldn't imagine playing, yeah, that on Switch. I think that's quite funny. So, what do you think of what they're trying to do with the peripheral-esque thing with the Joy-Cons?
I don't know. I'm not gonna be buying it. I barely use my Switch
Yeah.
One anymore. I used it once back in December because I was traveling down to Florida to spend Christmas with my parents. And about an hour on the flight, a couple hours with my parents, and then an hour back on the flight is about all I used it. I haven't turned it on since.
Yeah. What do you think of what they showed though, and like what they're trying to do with the basketball game and whatever?
I liked a lot of what they showed in terms of the hardware. Like I said, it's definitely more robust. A couple of the YouTubers, they did a thing and they got early access to it for a show they did that was in New York. They're saying it's much more durable, much more robust. It is heavier, not noticeably so, but it is a little bit noticeable. It's like if you have a 2 pound weight and then you pick up a 3 pound weight, it's not a huge difference, but you do feel it. Their concerns right now are the battery life because all the ones that were display were all plugged into the C, either plugged into a dock or connected to a charger. So nobody really knows how long the battery's going to last. That's one of those shows that there's a lot of good and a lot of really, what the hell are you thinking with that?
My thoughts are more of the latter, but look, again, it's not something I, vote with my wallet. I don't intend on buying this thing, or even really. I mean, I don't use my Switch now, so I have zero reason to get this. So, and that's okay. That's fine. I wasn't sort of watching any of these presentation bits and thinking like, oh, I hope Nintendo really sells me on Switch 2, because I was already kind of not in the door anyway. Anything else we'll talk about the Switch?
Not directly for the Switch itself, but for the forgotten Nintendo Direct that they had the week before the Switch. They showed a ton of games, way more to talk about and count than going over at all of them. There was just two that I wanted to talk about because not so much the games themselves, but for what they represent. And I kind of mentioned this earlier when we were before we started recording. A lot of people are going after Microsoft saying that they've given up on the console. Well, Sony has officially given up on first party, non-AAA, non-line service games. Two of the games they announced coming to the Switch are Patapon 1 and 2 Replay, as they call it, and Everybody Golf Hot Shots. Those are both two first party Japan Sony Studio games. They were older than dirt. I mean, Patapon was a PlayStation portable game in
Yeah,
2008.
think I remember that one.
And then Everybody's Golf, that came out for the PS2. And those are both really good games. And the fact that not only is Sony just done with them and licensing them to, I think it's Square Enix that got them. To go onto the Switch, they're also going to third party. So those will be able on Microsoft platforms as well. At least the PC. I mean, technically, yeah, PC could be a Linux platform, but
Yeah,
yeah, so
yeah.
these are, IPs that were held by Japan Studio. Sony closed that down, and now they're starting to farm out some of their second party IPs.
Yeah, I heard that what they sort of did was, because they closed down the Japan studio, and Team Asobi, which does Astrobot, is sort of what's left of that, but it's not the same. From what I understand, it's not fundamentally the same kind of studio. It's just the sort of remnants that are left of that. So yeah, I don't have any sort of like things to say really about the golf game and Patapon, but it is what it is for that, I suppose. So cool. Anything else from the Switch?
Nope.
Cool. All right. So what was the release date they said? Was it June?
June 5th.
Do you find that as a weird date? I thought there was definitely going to be like November. because that's usually like holiday stuff. Unless
It's a
Nintendo,
Thursday, which is super weird.
unless Nintendo's also scared of GTA 6. So, because I think we're all kind of anticipating GTA 6 for November, October-ish, like the holiday, big holiday game. As if it actually does come out this year, we don't know yet. So, but yeah, I just find June to be an odd month for, especially a fresh new console. I get that Pro and stuff might be a different thing. I just found that a bit odd. So, but hey, maybe it's the new summer console for the kids, or whatever. I don't know. So, anyway, there we go. That's all the news I've got for this week. What have you got?
Well, the only thing I got is a lot, and unfortunately, it involves Ubisoft because that dead horse just keeps coming back to life. So, back a few days ago, like last week, I actually wanted to talk about it last week, but we couldn't connect up. Ubisoft tried to pull a fast one with Tencent, and now shit
Yep.
is hitting every single fan there is. Did you see any of it?
I saw that they did this, like, they did something with Tencent, and everybody was a bit sort of like, oh, Ubisoft pissed off at it, sort of thing.
Oh, it's
But yeah.
way beyond that. So what
Yeah.
Ubisoft did was they created a subsidiary of Ubisoft, transferred the IPs of Assassin's Creed, Far Cry, and Rainbow Siege 6 into that subsidiary, and then sold 25% of that new entity to Tencent for 1.16 billion euros, which gave that new entity with just those three IPs a $4 billion evaluation. Shareholders were never informed of this, and they reacted strongly. The stock dropped 24% day of, and now is barely below $9 a share for the worldwide announcement. And this would be like the guys that own Man United that you hate so much. Imagine they created Manchester United 2, transferred all the players to that Manchester United 2, and then fucked off to their own league and left Manchester United with just the debt. This is what it looks like. Obviously, not a financial investor. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not giving financial advice. This is just what it appears to me. They want to carve out any IP they think has any kind of value to Tencent and just take the money and run. And the investors are all up in arms. The largest minority shareholder, AJ Investments, has been gathering a coalition of other investors and actually started filing lawsuits in France, which is where the company is primarily located at. So the demands by the new investor collaboration is to, one, renegotiate the Tencent deal into a straightforward asset sale worth no less than 4 billion euros, distribute 3 billion euros dividends to the shareholders amounting to 23 euros per share cash. If Ubisoft doesn't do this, the legal proceedings will continue, and this will make the Microsoft AFK deal look like a lemonade stand, which I know you don't have in the UK, but I don't have any other equivalent.
We used to have something like that going around. So it's something similar. I know what you mean anyway, but yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the football thing, because something, not the same way, but something actually similar happened recently with Chelsea. They have a Chelsea women's team, and who are actually quite good. And I don't know where the other group came from or what it was, but there was this other group that Chelsea Football Club own, and they sold the women's team to that group, so they effectively sold the team to themselves. I don't really know how that kind of works or what that means or whatever, but you reminded me of that when you mentioned it, and everyone thinks it's a bit sly and a bit weird and a bit dodgy. So, but yeah, I mean, getting into bed with Tencent is never a sort of good looking thing, is it? I remember when, like, what was it, Sean Layden, who was very good at PlayStation, left PlayStation, then went to Tencent, and that didn't look very good. That's nowhere near as bad as what this sort of looks like, but yeah, it's
And in
Ubisoft
addition,
being sly, so.
the lawsuit is demanding that Tencent be excluded from voting on any Ubisoft Prime, I guess what I have to call it, the differentiated options, due to its direct interest in the outcome. And they're also demanding that the Guillemot Brothers Holdings voting rights be limited to their non-Tencent linked shares. So this is going to be a massive headache for everybody involved. And then Ubisoft didn't help itself at all anyway when they closed Lymington Studios as part of that restructuring process. So in the middle of all that, they closed another studio.
What we can hope for to eventually happen, but unlikely to happen, is all these IP that people do care about, let's say like Rayman, Beyond Good and Evil, Assassin's Creed, Rainbow Six, all the Tom Clancy stuff, Splinter Cell, that Ubisoft just sells them to somebody else, but that's not gonna really happen because as long as you can make some money or a good amount of money from your IP, it doesn't always quite matter what people say about your products. That's the thing that people need to kind of learn is that that's obviously where the phrase voting with your wallet comes from is, okay, if a company keeps putting out something and you keep buying it time after time after time, and you keep saying to this company, this thing is really bad, it's not very good, can you do better? Then they release the similar thing again, which this metaphor I'm, saying here, you can definitely be applied to Assassin's Creed, but then when they keep coming out with them and they still don't improve the quality of them, and then you keep buying them again, you're keeping them afloat because you're giving them your money. It doesn't you saying, going online or whatever, saying the game's good, bad, or whatever, doesn't really affect their bottom line as much. but yeah. What do you do with Ubisoft? What do you do with Ubisoft? I don't know. What do you think they do with Ubisoft?
Honestly, I was half expecting just a sale of the IP, because that's what happened last time. Well, not last time, but I've seen that more than a few times with gaming companies, to where they'll start to go out. And one of the things that I forgot to mention is, in the financial for Ubisoft, their debt to equity ratio is 70%, which is a death knell for companies. My dad has been in corporate for a while, not a financial analyst or advisor, but he's been around that world for 36 years. He knows enough. He said companies don't want to go above 20%, and they're at 70. So everybody predicting doom and gloom that Ubisoft is not long for this world. It's not just a bunch of haters hating for the sake of hate. This is very much a, they're dead, they just don't know it yet.
I mean, for people saying that, though, I just think it's a case of you not been paying attention. Like, Star Wars didn't do well. Assassin's Creed Shadows has done better, but still not really, really well. Skull and Bones was in development for, what, 45 years or something? And then only about 15 or whatever. And then that just. That is one of the weirdest cycles of a game's development I think I've ever seen.
I think it was 10 years.
I'm still not over that just really weird Ubisoft showcase that they did for that. That was just, and then the game just like randomly came out, and then it was just awful, and then it just after all that, after everything, it just disappeared. But for years and years, and I know that they had to kind of restart development and things, people didn't even know what that game looked like for ages, and then it just had the one of the weirdest state, if you want to call it a stage presentation, I've ever seen for a game, and now where is it? It's gone. See, the only advantage, just to kind of like not swing this back the other way, no matter what company or how bad you're doing, and of course financials are your main kind of thing, if you've still got access to IP that people A care about and B is still useful and good, you do still have a chance. But it just depends on how much money you put into them, who you put the what hands you put those IP into. I'll give a little example. Let's say tomorrow or something they come out and say, right, like the original Rayman game or the first couple of Rayman games are going to be remastered from the ground up for PS5. That would be really exciting to some people. Now, do you trust that, like, again, something like that? Very good idea. That would get at least the Rayman fans who have had basically nothing for ages. It would give them hope, right? That's just an example. Now, the thing from that is, okay, you've got a very good idea there, and that's not something that they've announced or they're doing. That's just something I've come up with. Rayman remastered from the ground up, new control schemes, whatever, new graphics, all those, bits and bobs. That doesn't mean that that idea for that game is actually going to be good. There's a number of ways you can muck up that very good idea. Because you think, right, okay, Far Cry, very useful. Assassin's Creed may be recoverable if you genuinely just reboot it or something, right? And I mean completely cleanly reboot it. So yeah, Far Cry, still useful. Assassin's Creed could still be useful. Rayman, there's a ton of stuff you could do there.
Splinter Cell, we
Splinter
talk about
Cell,
forever.
yeah, you could do anything with that character, anything at all. They announced a few years ago about a remaster remake. Where is that? Again, very good idea. If the game ever comes out or we ever see it, and if it does come out, if it's actually any good, then you've still got all the Tom Clancy stuff. There's like a bunch of different things you could work off from there. They do still have Prince of Persia. I know that they sort of weirdly won awards and then shut that studio down, but you could revisit the you could remaster the old games, which again they were gonna do, and that kind of fell by the wayside. You could make a sequel to that sort of second franchise version that they made, or remaster that, or redo that. The Rabbids games seem to do well. Then you've also got things like the Mario and Rabbids games. The strategy one. I mean, I didn't really get on with the second one, but people seem to like that. You can work with that from there. What else do they have that's useful? Not, and I don't mean currently good. I mean an IP that could be good and is useful and people still care about, that you could still actually do something with. Star Wars thing, that was more of a license. Obviously, they don't own Star Wars. And if Ubisoft approached Disney slash Lucasfilm and said, "Hey, can we make another game?" I don't know that the answer is going to be yes. But it,
Rabbids.
yeah, the Rabbids one, this what I mentioned. I mean, Just Dance still like comes out and does well, does some bits. So there's plenty. I've just named like 9 or 10 different things that they could do stuff with. Roughly half of what I just named, they don't even use. Like Rayman is AFK, Splinter Cell is AFK.
Just Dance.
Yeah, that one. But again, it's a case of, okay, the name of Ubisoft isn't great. You've got access to a lot of really good IP, but do you have the right people in charge, both writing, creative, and otherwise, to do good enough things with it? So that's up to them. It's up to them to figure that out, and they're not currently figuring it out. So yeah, here we go. Cool. Is there anything else from Ubisoft, or what else you wanted to mention?
No, that's it. That's all I got. I mean, that was between that and Nintendo, that pretty much dominated the week.
Yep. So there we go. All right, so we've done some feedback, some emails. If you'd like to write into the show, if there's any Ubisoft games you're playing that you enjoy, or are you enjoying Assassin's Creed Shadows, you are allowed to enjoy whatever game you want to. Any of your thoughts on Switch 2? Are you going to buy it? Whatever. All your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on anything we mentioned. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk UK, or Entertainment Talk. And there's information in your show notes. We've got two this week. Josh writes in and says, "Matt, what are you planning on to play after this podcast project? Maybe finish Rebirth?" Question mark. Yep, going to be getting back to that. That's going to take a bit of time. The one thing I'm kind of nervous to do with that game, I've heard that with the last hour of Rebirth, that they throw like a lot of mini games at you, and that it kind of drags the experience down. And from what I've experienced so far from the mini games, it's not that they're bad, they're just not really it kind of halts things a lot. Like when you're sort of chasing Sephiroth, you're trying to get all the this different material, you're meeting all the new group members, you're getting into great combat situations, and then you get into these like mini games. It sort of just slows down things a bit. And I remember when I did the is it Golden Saucer level, I think it's called, the big theme park thing that you go to. It was all right, it was pretty good. The layout of it was pretty terrible. So I hope I don't come across too much more of that. What else am I planning on playing? There's still the Lego Horizon game for me to go back to. So I wonder if I think I was maybe halfway through that, so I need to get that back. That was a rental from Boomerang, so get back to that and play that as well. What was the other games? So yeah, the rest of the Uncharted games, so next one is 2, then 3, 4, and Lost Legacy. What was the other things? Yep, try Kingdom Deliverance 2. Try that out. Atomfall's not going to be one I'm going to be trying. Try out some Assassin's Creed Shadows. Again, I don't think I'll finish the game, but the content creator curiosity will get the better of me there, and I'll try it out. So the Assassin's Creed Shadows. What was the other game I was going to play? Still need to definitely get back to doing some more No Return for Last of Us 2. I've not even unlocked all the characters, and they did add Bill and Marlene to that, so that's kind of exciting. That was an announcement that I meant to make, which I actually forgot. I didn't write it down in my notes. So, as many of you know, Last of Us is coming back for Season 2 this Sunday slash Monday, depending on where you live. I was thinking on, maybe not on Sunday night, because I have other stuff to do on Sunday as well. Maybe Saturday night I might stream maybe like an hour or something, depends how far I get or whatever. Is to actually go back to No Return and do a stream for that. So some point on Saturday. So if you go to Entertainment Talk Plays on YouTube, it will be on our YouTube channel, not on Twitch. Subscribe, click the bell, because that's what you have to do. It's not because I'm telling you to do that, it's because YouTube asks you to, so I also have to tell you to do that. If you go to Entertainment Talk Plays, you'll probably know us when you find us. Subscribe to that, do the bell, whatever. I don't know why you have to do the bell as well. It's just, it is what it is, I suppose. At some point on Saturday, I'll probably tweet out a little bit before, again, eTalk UK, Entertainment Talk, whatever, on social media. And then we can, I don't know if have fun is the word, because as much as I love Last of Us and that, I've never said like fun is the word to describe it. Very, very intense. Everything's very, very intense. And that will be a way for, again, me to play more No Return, and also to obviously do that as a bit of a celebration for Season 2 coming back. And it will be one of the few spoiler-free ways I can actually play that game. So look out for that on Saturday, because I believe main night playing Sunday. And then, so yeah, Saturday should be fine for that. So look out for that. So be playing that as well. I think I've just named plenty of games to play between now and the meantime. So there we go. Beth writes in and says, are we going to have a lighter gaming year because everyone wants to move out of the way of GTA 6? If you want to move out of the way of GTA 6, you want to come out in 2025, you need to come out now, really. Or at any point between now and make sure people have time to play and finish your game before November. But because okay, what games are we probably going to have this fall, as they call it? Probably the new COD, new FIFA. We're gonna have other games like Death Stranding 2. By the way, I forgot to mention that as well. I did watch the 10-minute Death Stranding 2 trailer. I think that game looks fantastic, and there's some really, really, really incredible ideas in there. And because we don't get as many games from Kojima as what we're used to, because it takes time to do the kind of thing that he does. You sometimes forget some of the ideas that Kojima can put into his games, and then when you watch a full length like actual 10-minute trailer, it reminds you of that. And there's some really spectacular ideas put into that trailer, so I'm really looking forward to that. Then that comes out in August or something. There's Hell Is Us as well, which I'm very curious to play. That's going to be before that. So there is going to be some games between now and like August or so. There's a few decent name games coming out, and obviously the Switch 2 release. I don't know. I'll lean more towards no in terms of a lighter year because we are going to have some things coming out before November. It just depends on if you are planning on releasing a bigger game in and around the holiday season, you are going to have to move out the way of GTA 6. So yeah, what do you think on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's assuming GTA 6 comes out this year, which we haven't gotten a release date yet. So, but yeah, definitely if it's ready, if it's not a broken piece of junk and you can get it out, go ahead and get it out on the market.
So, it would be interesting and also disappointing if, like, let's say we get to like September or something, and then Rockstar goes, "Oh no, we're just gonna have to delay a bit, Q1 or Q2 2026," or they just say 2026 or something, and then developers kind of go back to the table and like, "Quick, let's try and get our games out in the holidays so we can get those sales in," because that is the reality situation. Like, if you have a middle level game, not in terms of quality but no accessibility, yeah, you're gonna move on want to move out of the way of GTA 6. It's pretty much gonna be, I mean, COD won't be afraid of GTA 6. They'll still come out with something in November and they'll still sell really well. And the thing on that, just to go back to the $100 thing for a second, they also know that, okay, big streamers, obviously all the big streamers and all the smaller streamers, and for content creators, like, if you can spend that much money and get your hands on GTA 6, you've got a very, very, very big game for your Twitch stream. And for all the big, for all the bigger streamers that will either A, be given a code for it, or B, easily be able to afford it because they're very rich. Well, not very rich, but well off or whatever. It'll also be, again, not in the way of like GTA 6 needs promotion, but those content creators that can easily afford those things, they'll know that through like stream and donations and whatever else, they'll just get that $100 back easily anyway. So that won't be an issue for those people, and then Rockstar can just sit and watch like all these big streamers just play their big new game, even though they still don't need that anyway because it's GTA 6 and it's going to do incredibly well. Because it also doesn't matter how, in terms of that aspect and the $100 and the noticeability in the streamers, that's not going to actually be affected by how good or bad this game is. Not that it will be like, oh, it's going to be bad. It'll at least probably be a very good game, like at minimum, I think. It just depends on some of the bigger ideas that that game's got. So, yeah. What do you think of like the streamer angle of all that? Because there'll be people that will easily make that $100
Oh
back.
yeah,
So,
easily. There's people that make that offline.
So, there's like donations and super chats and sponsors, and some people will get codes for it anyway. So, yeah. But yeah, I'd be curious to see kind of once we get to like, sort of July, August, or a bit before that, when we start actually getting some full dates for, or autumn as we call it over here, dates for games, what that kind of is like. Because yeah, at the moment we just have the one trailer and 2025. Not seen anything past that, and don't know what the gameplay is like or anything. So, it's early yet. So anyway. All right, that's what we got for you for this week of gaming talk. Yeah, we'll see what happens between now and the next week. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, many other podcasts. I've already mentioned a bunch of podcasts that we're doing. So again, remember, I just realized that Saturday that I mentioned for No Return, that's actually this Saturday, isn't it? Because it comes back on, show comes back on. Wow, that's really, anyway. So yeah, look out for No Return stream on Saturday. Of course, Last of Us returning on Sunday. There will be an immediate podcast afterwards. I'm not sure what state I'll be in, and I do have a little surprise for that podcast as well. Just a little something particular I'm going to do on that one. Of course, there'll be a preview podcast on Wednesday for season two, and then a more full review next Wednesday for the actual episode, and then maybe bonus episodes depending on what happens in the episodes and things like that. Film reviews, again, there's still no good showings for a film called Novocaine, which I'm interested in. It's got Jack Quaid in it, which looks very interesting, but I'm not going to go to the cinema at 11 p.m. because that just doesn't sound like a very good idea. So There's that. Don't expect a review for Minecraft or for Snow White because I just don't have any interest in those. What else we've got coming up? Yellow Jackets finale this Friday, so look out for that. Hopefully we get a renewal, so we can talk all about that. And then yeah, gaming talk, United Cast, big game this Thursday. So lots happening. So yeah, please support what we do here on Entertainment Talk, either by listening to more stuff, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcast along, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon $5, $10 level tiers, ad free podcast review options. Look for that as well if you'd like to. TV and film news, of course, if you want to know about renewals, cancellations, and air dates and all those sorts of things, casting news, there's always stuff going on over there. Check out Geek Town Radio on Tuesdays and geektown.co.uk throughout the week. There's also new co-hosts from last week's episode, so that was cool as well. So check that out. And then, yeah, YouTube Entertainment Talk plays for pretty much all of our video game clips, content, and other bits and pieces. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.